Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. It is a Football Friday. Tomorrow is a playoff Saturday.
Oh.
Arrowhead Stadium, Kansas City, divisional round. This has not been a great spot for the Texans. It's been a phenomenal spot for the Chiefs. And we'll see if that changes tomorrow at 3:30. You can hear the game right here on Sports Radio 610. I will be on the Texans countdown with Seth, as we are each and every week. 12:30 is the start time for that, and then Clint Sterner and I will have you for post game. We'll see how that goes tomorrow as well. As we are joined by our next guest, he is he's one of the best, man. He does a great job in Afternoon Drive in Kansas City on our sister station 96.5. He is Carrington Harrison, joining us right now on Sports Radio 610. Carrington, how you feeling, man?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. Hey, I'm excited to come on here and talk to you guys about the next round of the playoffs. I know it's something you guys haven't experienced, the AFC Championship game. It's actually really cool to host a game where if you win, you get to go to the Super Bowl. I know this is where you guys' season traditionally normally stops. You know, you'll win one playoff game, and it's fun, and it's cool, the wild card round. That's not a round I'm pretty familiar with. This round's okay, you know, the final eight teams in the league, but the next round, that's when it really gets fun.
Chose violence right away, I see.
We've enjoyed you and Nick Wright and all these other people, you know, Ron Hughley to a certain degree. Stolen valor confidence in a team that, you know, that you get to watch, and yet I feel like some of his bravado this year, it feels like it's amped up even more so than usual. Are you indeed actually really nervous about this Texans pass rush and their proclivity for turnovers? Because it feels like you might be, Carrington.
No, I'm not worried at all. I want to tell you a story, Seth, that I was actually offered two sweet tickets to this game, or I could roll the dice for the AFC Championship game. And I said, I'm not worried about this round. I know they're going to play in the AFC Championship game. So I don't want to make it seem like Houston doesn't do some good things. You're right about the pass rush. But the last time these two teams played each other, the Texans only got one sack. The Texans lost the turnover differential. The Texans are more banged up this time than the last time they played Kansas City. And the Chiefs are coming off 3.5 weeks of rest. There's just a lot of kind of boxes that I think Houston needs to check in order to pull off this upset, and I'm just not really sure if they can.
I guess there is I haven't quite known how to handle the rust element part of it, because look, Andy Reid has always been really, really good after bye weeks, or this Chiefs team has been really good after bye weeks or with extra rest. But this will be kind of uncharted territory, because Pat Mahomes will have set a record for a number of days off before the playoffs begin by a starting quarterback. Is that a valid concern on the behalf of the Chiefs that, all right, in the first quarter especially, maybe there's a little bit of rust there?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's maybe three talking points kind of heading into the game, and I think that's maybe the second one. I would say left tackle is the biggest one. Are they going to go with DJ Humphries? Are they going to go with Joe Tooney? I think we'll find out today what they end up doing. Or I think what will happen is tomorrow morning you'll get the early morning Schefter or Ian Rappaport tweet about what their decision is going to be. I think the rest versus Russ is a legitimate argument or so. I mean, you guys know this well, and we're not, you know, poking fun here, but you know, Kansas City loves to get down 14-3 early in the game or 21-10 early in the game and then kind of claw their way back. Can Houston kind of get out? Can Houston get out early against Kansas City and not allow them to kind of get into a rhythm? And that's where I do actually think that, like, Houston's pass rush, and because I have so much respect for Derek Stingley and his ability to take the ball away, that's really the pathway for Houston to try to win this game. Is early on, you have to win the line of scrimmage battle, and you probably need at least two takeaways.
What was the third? What's your third point there, so I can plagiarize it later?
Yeah, no. So rest versus rust. The left tackle situation, and I'm a little bit worried about Kansas City's ability to run the ball, where Isaiah Pacheco, he hasn't been super explosive over the last couple of months or so. Kareem Hunt's averaging less than 4 yards a carry. Can Houston make Kansas City one-dimensional and take away the run game and kind of exploit them that way? Like, I really think that Houston's chance of winning this game is just, we have talked so much about this pass rush and how great their defensive line is. They have to be noticeable in this game, and I don't really think they were the first time these two teams played each other.
Carrington Harrison, 96.5 in Kansas City, joining us on the program. Carrington, on offensively, let's stick with that side with the Chiefs. The wide receiving core, I think, like, it feels like the weapons that Patrick Mahomes has, especially with Hollywood Brown back now, that this is probably the best that side of the ball, or the most dangerous, I guess I would say, that side of the ball has looked from a passing perspective in terms of overall weaponry. Is that fair to say? And if so, how big a challenge is that for the Texans?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is the deepest that their wide receiver group has been since the Tyreek Hill trade. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins, you guys obviously know him very well playing in Houston. Hollywood Brown's actually been very good since he's come back. Xavier Worthy's really developed the last 2 months. He's been really good. We haven't even mentioned Travis Kelce yet, who has 13 consecutive games of having at least 70 yards in the postseason. So this team last year, the Chiefs had three options I think you can rely on offense in the playoffs, with Travis Kelce, Rashee Rice, and Isaiah Pacheco. I think you could make the case they maybe have like eight right now. You have Travis Kelce, you have Noah Gray, we mentioned the wide receivers. You got two capable running backs that you hope to get a little bit more from them with their rested. So there's just way more firepower this year for Kansas City's offense than there's been the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, you brought up Joe Thuney, who'd been playing at left tackle because you guys had just been having a hard time filling that role all year long. What would you prefer? Because Thuney went out and played. I was pretty impressed with what he did at left tackle. And we know he's very, very good as a guard. Humphries hasn't necessarily been all that great when he's played this year. What would you prefer? Do you like having Thuney out at left tackle, or do you prefer having the stability of him on the inside?
I'd much rather keep Joe Tooney out there. When this team played their best football in those three games in 11 days, they did so with Joe Tooney at left tackle. They beat the Cleveland Browns. They played really well. They beat Houston, and then they went on the road on Christmas Day, and they beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. My biggest argument against Joe Tooney is maybe you think he's healthy, maybe you think he's ready. He played 92 snaps this year and never played a full game with the starting offensive line. I just don't know how now you're going to go into a single elimination game, especially with the pass rush that Houston has, and you're going to play somebody who played in 1.5 games this year, didn't have a training camp, didn't have an OTAs. He's only practiced 9 times this season with the team. He just doesn't have enough reps for me to put him out there in this spot.
Carrington Harrison joining us, 96.5 in Kansas City, our sister station up there, joining us here on Payne and Pendergast. Carrington, how do you expect the Chiefs defense to handle Nico Collins? I know Trent McDuffie does travel with the number one wide receiver sometimes, but Nico is, like, so far above and beyond anything else the Texans have in the passing game in terms of weaponry. How do you expect them to handle him? Is it a McDuffie versus Collins situation, or do you think they double him and then just figure out the rest?
I could actually see them kind of letting Nico get his yards just because I think he's a very talented receiver. And I think their goal is just going to be, we're not going to let anybody else do anything else. Let's say that Nico Collins has, you know, 6 catches for 80 yards and a touchdown. The Kansas City, I think, can manage that. It's really going to be, do they let any of the secondary options kind of get going? Because, you know, that wide receiver room is kind of depleted. I know that Mixon's kind of been dealing with some injuries, too. Mm-hmm. He's another guy that could possibly have a decent day. But just Houston, to me, they don't have enough kind of other options in this game. Ron actually came on our show yesterday and gave a stat. Over the last 3 months, they only have one game where they've scored more than 2 touchdowns on offense. That's just not enough to beat Kansas City, unless you're going to get a defensive touchdown like you guys did last week. You're going to need a pick six, a scoop and score. You're going to need to probably score at least 24 points to beat Kansas City tomorrow. I just don't see a scenario in which Houston wins 21-17, not with the fully healthy Kansas City offense.
You know, it's been a weird year, just kind of in even either discussing or monitoring the discussion about Pat Mahomes, because this wasn't a quintessential Chiefs performance this year. But the entire time, you're realizing and recognizing, all right, this Chiefs team with Pat Mahomes leading it is just, they're a different team. They have it's not just sheer luck that had them winning all those one score games. As you've gone through the entire season, I guess, like, in a nutshell, do you look at it as a season in which Mahomes did struggle, or was it just that, no, it was just a different type of year?
I think it's maybe a little bit of both. I actually do think he struggled the first half of the season. First 8 games or so, I don't think Mahomes was very great. I do think he struggled with some accuracy issue downfield. But, I mean, since Halloween, he's thrown 18 touchdown passes and 2 interceptions and completing 67% of his passes. I think a lot of times, and I think you guys kind of experienced this year with C.J. Stroud, I think we put a lot on the quarterback maybe not having numbers, when a lot of it is just regression from the parts around him. Joe Burrow had a great year because he has the best wide receiver in the National Football League, and T. Higgins, who's going to get $72 million this offseason. I mean, the Chiefs, you know, you didn't have Hollywood Brown for most of the season. Their number one wide receiver, Rashee Rice, tore his ACL in the first month of the season. Travis Kelce is 35 years old. I think why Mahomes didn't have the numbers that he had in the past is you don't have a 27-year-old Tyreek Hill in the middle of your offense or a 31-year-old Travis Kelce. So I think Mahomes' numbers and that perception is more tied into, for most of the season, he didn't have his full complement of weapons, and that's why I think there's a lot of excitement that they are going to have those weapons heading into Saturday's game.
Hey, Carrington, where are you on the whole narrative about the referees and the Chiefs? And Seth and I are not referee blaming people or anything, but I am curious. It feels like there's a lot of Kansas City people that take that very personally and try to fight the good fight and say, no, look, this is not true, and blah. Or when you could merely just point at the scoreboard and say, whatever, we've got 3 Super Bowls. I'm curious where you fall on that scale.
This is the argument that every team that wins gets. Like, we think that the officials favor Duke because they're Duke, or the Yankees, or the Patriots. No one thinks that the referees help out Tennessee or the New Orleans Saints because they're not good enough. So this is just, this comes with being at the top. This comes with being the leader. This comes with being the king. I tell Chiefs fans to embrace it all the time. Like, you know, for 30 years, you guys never won a playoff game. You looked around the league and you wanted those things. This comes with having all the success. I will say this. I've never seen an official come over to the sideline to have a chat with Patrick Mahomes the way that happened last week for Josh Allen. Seth, you played in the NFL. When has an official ever come off of the playing area onto the sideline to talk to a player? If that had happened to Patrick Mahomes, entire internet would have crashed if that had happened last week.
I don't know. They didn't. They stopped talking to me after I knocked an umpire out once in the middle of the play by shoving him into the ground. Garth DeFelice. I was turning to chase a screen, and I just saw that there was a jersey that wasn't my own color on the field, so I shoved him down, and he was out cold. So that was pretty much it for me and having any conversations with the – that was back when the real umpires were real men, and they stood behind the defensive line.
Yeah.
I just want to know what that meeting was like with the commissioner. I mean, you had to have some serious conversation with either Goodell or Paul Tagliabue.
No, it actually, you know what? I joke about not talking to officials afterwards. I actually ended up having like a pretty nice on-field relationship with Garth DeFelice the next time I saw him, because he accepted blame for not getting out of my way, and it was more cordial than you might expect. Nobody thought it was dirty or anything. But he got what he had coming to him. He had gotten me for defensive holding earlier in my career.
But I love that.
I'll come clean with that. I
have a cordial relationship with anybody who's ever knocked me to the ground. Like, yeah. I feel like the moment our relationship gets to the point where I'm on the ground looking up at you, that is as far as we've come in life. We cannot go any further if that happens.
Yeah.
He was looking at the back of his eyelids.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Hey, Carrington, before we get you out of here, we're talking to Carrington Harrison of 96.5. Our sister station in Kansas City does afternoons there. And I'm curious, the other AFC divisional round game is the one that's getting all the attention right now, and especially given the fact that one of the storylines is the two quarterbacks are viewed as the two front runners for the MVP. The same way that we in Houston were kind of keeping receipts about all the Charger talk last week, is there a sort of a like this kind of ancillary layer of disrespect going on heading into this game that really has nothing to do with the Texans, but everything to do with how much coverage and the treatment of that game as the quote-unquote de facto AFC title game?
That actually has not happened. I think that Chiefs fans, and this comes with just the amount of success that the Chiefs have had, there isn't that buzz that you would think for a playoff game, because the Chiefs have never lost in this round. Patrick Mahomes, he has been in the division around. This is his seventh time. He is 6-0, 19 touchdown passes. He's never thrown an interception, and he has a passer rating of 115.8. So I think a lot of people kind of feel how I feel. Houston is a good team. I know we laugh and joke about it. Houston is a good team. But I told you guys this the last time I was on. There is a difference between a Super Bowl team and a playoff team. And Houston is a proven playoff team. Double-digit games the last 2 years. They won a playoff game. They are a nice story. This is where teams like Houston, teams like the Commanders, this is where you lose to just a better team. So I think a lot of Chiefs fans kind of feel that. So, like, there is an excitement, I think, for Bills and Ravens because, you know, last year the Chiefs didn't host the AFC Championship game. They had to go on the road. So I think a lot of fans are just excited about, hey, who's coming next week? Is it going to be Josh Allen? Is it going to be Lamar Jackson? Who do we get to see for the Chiefs' chance to go back to another Super Bowl?
Yeah, Buster Douglas was just another fighter too. I get it.
Yeah. Ask Apollo Creed about that. You know, mm-hmm. I feel like
he won
in Rocky One. This is the second time third time. Yeah. Carrington Harrison, 96.5 in Kansas City, does a phenomenal job on afternoons there. Hey, Carrington, enjoy the game this weekend. And hey, man, if this works out for the Texans, we might have to, you know, you came in talking a big game. We might have to hit you up. I don't know. We'll see about next week. You don't sound too worried about it. So
I'm not worried at all. I'm not worried at all because Kansas City has the better barbecue. We have the better traffic. You guys have Beyonce. We ended up getting Taylor Swift.
You have better traffic because nobody wants to live there. The Chiefs have a lot of success, so yeah, people are going to accuse them of cheating. Yeah, when people want to live in a place, you end up with more traffic. Yeah, yeah. That's just the way it goes. You got to wait longer at the good restaurants.
That's it. Hey, Carrington, we appreciate the fire, brother. Appreciate you coming on and spending some time with us. Enjoy the game this weekend.
Hey, I appreciate you guys a lot, man. Yeah, thanks a lot for
too.
Having me today.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having us. The text page doesn't feel similarly. F this guy. He can go F himself. Get this a-hole off my radio. No, listen to this D-head. F this guy. There's five F this guys.
The thing that's tough about it is that, like, you could hear in the smack talk for Carrington Harrison. Harrison Carrington. Did I call him Carrington?
You did. No, you're good.
I mess up his name half the time.
Yeah.
Carrington is like, you can sense that the Chiefs are looking, the Chiefs fandom at least, and the people who cover the team kind of are just, it's not even an insult of the Texans themselves. It's like, oh, it's just the team that they're playing in the divisional round.
That's right.
The insult is that they're not regarding you at all. Almost like you should be insulted that the insults weren't more specific.
Yeah.
It's more just like, oh, we're facing an egg profile today.
It feels like Carrington had that the first 3 minutes of that interview loaded up like a week ago, but he had to erase Chargers from all those spots and then write Texans in on it, right?
Yeah. You know what screwed me up? I was thinking, like, did I call Carrington Harrison the wrong name? The problem is I was trying to find his age. There's a basketball player at University of Colorado whose name is Harrison Carrington.
No way.
Which, what are the odds of this?
Yeah.
Carrington Harrison's a pretty unique name, and that there'd be another person in sports named Harrison Carrington.
It's crazy.
But I feel like he might be. I think Carrington might have been a little too young for my Buster Douglas reference.
Oh no!
Do I have to retire the Buster Douglas reference?
I think Carrington is a very knowledgeable old soul. I guarantee you, he knows who Buster Douglas is 100%. Five reasons I hate you. God, this is good. Straight from Carrington Harrison, who I think most of the text page wants us to add him to the list. We will get into Five Reasons I Hate You, Chiefs edition. All new five reasons from last time. We don't recycle anything on this show. Five Reasons I Hate You, Chiefs edition is next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Let's do it here. We got to do it. This might be the most important Five Reasons I Hate You that we've done all season. Because this is the 2020 version, you know, the 2020s, this decade. This is the Neo version of the New England Patriots. You know, this is the dynasty that needs to be stopped. And we couldn't stop the first one. It took 20 years to eradicate Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. But the Texans can at least play a small part in curtailing whatever the Chiefs have going on right now. We're doing it for America, by God.
They're doing it for the purity of the NFL and all that is good. In this league, which is supposed to have the most parity in professional sports, hasn't felt like that these last few years,
Certainly
Sean.
Certainly is not. No.
Hasn't felt like that at all. So, for the good of football, America, God, and orphans that who are unanimously despise the Chiefs, we need to go ahead and take care of business.
Indeed. All right, so let's do this. Five reasons I hate you. And these are five new reasons from the ones that we used a month ago on on December the 20th, 21st is when the game was. All right, so let's do number five here, and this is something you brought up earlier. Patrick Mahomes and his wife Brittany just welcomed their third child into the world this past week, if I'm not mistaken, right?
This is the biggest indicator yet that the Chiefs have gotten a little too overconfident. The fact that Mahomes couldn't exercise enough discipline to hold off and pull out for another month or two, that, you know, to get it when, okay, maybe you have the baby a couple weeks after the Super Bowl, yeah, or something. I think he just doesn't care anymore.
Right.
You know, like, you've been married for a while now. Was the passion just too great that in that moment you lost your focus? Yeah. A Bush League move by Pat Mahomes having a child in December.
He's like that kid playing video games, like back in the day, like playing Space Invaders, where you got like three turns at it.
Yeah.
Who like intentionally gets killed the first two turns just to see if he can complete the whole game with just one guy. You know what
right,
I mean? Like just
right,
like a higher degree of difficulty. Like, now for my next trick, I'm going to have a kid right in the middle of the playoffs. I'm going to try and make it, I'm going to make it a whole lot harder on myself and see what I can
yeah,
do. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, having this child, if it is indeed his, in December, is just really, really shows a lack of focus, I think.
Well, I would say if it's not his, it also shows a lack of focus, you know,
yeah,
just of a different
in any
type.
Regard, like, there's almost no which way you can look at it.
Keep your eyes on your woman, man.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, so that's number five. Number four, their owner, whose name is Clark Hunt, doesn't deserve all this success. He is cheap. He is like super cheap. I was doing some reading up on this yesterday as I was scouring the internet for reasons to hate the Chiefs. His franchise routinely gets F's in that NFLPA report card that players grade ownership on. He got like an F minus last year from his players that are in that building. Supposedly he's doing one of these things where he's got two states right now on the string negotiating against each other for stadiums. Like, you know, so he doesn't have to pay any of his money. He's super cheap. And he looks like one of those soccer dads that you just want to punch in the face. You know?
Oh,
like,
he's wearing a vest.
He's got like the foofy, like side feathered hair. He looks like he looks like one of those like those dads who's like, why isn't my kid in?
I'm guessing the picture that you saw that really set you off was the one that pops up when you Google him. It's from the Harvard Club of Dallas, where he's sitting with his ring on.
No.
It's on that website. The Harvard Club of Dallas. He's sitting there, like posed like he's in the Step Brothers poster or something, in front of the trophy.
Yeah.
The trophy, which is named after somebody who actually earned his way in life.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, the old man.
His granddaddy, whoever it was.
Yeah, the old man, yeah.
Yeah.
So Clark Hunt, like, go look him up. Like, just if you look up that picture and tell me you don't want to just smack him in the face, then you're a better person than I am. All right, number three.
He looks like he should be playing some kind of twisted game with Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd, you know? Like, just like toying with the little people's lives.
Exactly what I was thinking.
Which is what he's doing. That's what he looks at his players, apparently. He's like, these bums.
F minus.
They don't deserve carpet in the locker room.
F minus. Yes, exactly right. They don't deserve chairs in the locker room. What are we talking about? Number three, the cockiness of Chiefs fans. We just heard some of it with Carrington Harrison, who just joined us. And I love Carrington, but boy, did he set people off. He can go bleep himself. Get this a-hole off my radio. You guys flooded the text page. I'm getting texts from friends of mine who are listening saying, who's this guy? Nick Wright, who I love and adore, probably the primary example of this. Here is Nick Wright of FS1, formerly Sports Radio 610.
Not a buy.
Okay.
It is, however, the Chiefs' final practice of the year.
You got to go hard.
And here, I told this to Greg yesterday. And we can show you Mahomes' numbers in this round. It's very simple. LeVar Ball style, never lost. Never turned the ball over.
All right, so he goes on to explain that the season for the Chiefs doesn't really start until the conference title game.
Yeah, he says the season is a two-game season. The conference title game and the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's where everything else is just prelude to next week's game. So, this is when you get to the point where, I mean, Carrington Harrison was talking a lot of smack, but he wasn't even talking about the Texans specifically. That's where you get hubris, Sean. You get a little bit of overconfidence, where you start to get to feel like, well, this is just what happens. This is our preordained spot.
Yeah.
Every good movie or story you watch, that ends with a comeuppance of some sort.
God, this would be the greatest week of radio ever coming up if they can pull this off, man. This would be amazing if they were able to do this.
Do it for us, Texans.
Yeah, yeah.
If you can't do it for America, do it for the inventors of the Circle of Swarm,
yes,
at least.
Yes, yes, yes. When Seth says us, he's specifically talking about me and him, like the two of us. Yeah, not us, like the city. Like, no, me and Payne and Pendergast. Number two, this is just PTSD, man. Like, the Tank Dell touchdown happened on that field 4 weeks ago.
CJ fakes the give, boots out to the right. There's pressure. Steps back, now fires to the end zone, and caught, Tank Dell. Touchdown, Houston! Stroud to Dell. They score and can tie the game with the extra point. And Dell is slow to get up.
Yeah,
and he hung on to the ball.
And he hung on to the ball. Thank you, Mark. That was really good. He hung on to the ball. He was slow to get up was an understatement. He had to be scooped up off the mat. And
so this is more about just not even hating the Chiefs, but hating the entire geographic region of Missouri and Kansas, I suppose.
Okay.
The temerity to be called Kansas City when you're in Missouri, I say as I drive out towards Missouri City, Texas. But it's
different. It borders. I think you could say that Missouri City is a tribute to the state of Missouri down here, whereas it feels like Kansas City is trying to take over the state of Missouri.
They're trying to get credibility by calling themselves Kansas City.
Yes, typical.
The fact that it happened, this is the one that I do think that there are, I'm torn as to whether it's a good thing or a bad thing that they're going back to the scene of the crime,
mm-hmm.
where the city of Kansas City injured Tank Dell.
Yes.
But
not his own teammate, the city of Kansas City.
Yeah, the city of Kansas City basically willed that upon Tank Dell.
Correct. Yeah. You had talked before the show about the contraption they dragged him off the field in. You were not a fan of that.
Yeah, I don't like the fact that they used like a MASH unit ambulance to take him off the field. I don't know what the hell that's all about.
It was like an ambulance and an armored truck had a baby, and that's what they used to drag Tank Dell off.
It was
off
like
the
a
field.
Tonka truck ambulance.
Yeah.
It was Tonka truck. Yeah, Tonka truck ambulance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Back when I was a kid, and I had speech impediments when I was a child. That was the last word I had to conquer was truck. I used to say truck.
And you got
which
there.
Which was my brother's nickname for me until I was like 15 years old.
the mispronounced version of it.
I can't imagine why I had a speech difficulties
with
an older brother like that. But that brought back painful memories. I got triggered, frankly.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be allowed to have that truck out there.
Because that vehicle, I was going to call it a vehicle, that vehicle that they dragged Tank off the field in. Yeah, man. I hate that. I hate having to even listen to that again. And that's why I hate you, Kansas City Chiefs. Number one reason, Chiefsaholic. How did he not crack the top five the last time we talked? I don't think he did. Chiefsaholic, for those of you who don't know, is a Chiefs fan who you've probably seen at several games over the last many, many years, wearing a Wolf's mask, wearing a Chiefs jersey, and his real name in real life is not Chiefsaholic. That would be amazing if it was. It's Javier Babadar. And for those who don't know the story, he basically has spent the last few years robbing banks coast to coast to get money so he can travel to go watch the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
And the jig was finally up for him. He was finally caught recently. He's doing 17 years in jail. There's still individual states that are going after him for some of these incidents. Like, the feds are the ones who got him. The state of Oklahoma is still like, hey, man, we ain't done with you yet.
It sounds like one of these things where we're going to end up cumulatively spending more money just sending him to various states to be tried for these crimes than he actually stole from the banks themselves.
Yes, your tax dollars hard at work. Yeah, thanks a lot.
Just a drain on society again, Missouri.
Yeah, so whereas your super fan is somebody who goes around stealing money from banks so he can selfishly go on these trips, we have Ultimate Texan, who is just... who you could hire to go to kids' birthday parties if you wanted to. Like, we have Debbie the Texan, who couldn't be a nicer person. You know, we've got all the Texans. We have Larry and Stafford, who can get riled up, but at his core is a very, very good person. He's not going around robbing banks to go to Texan games.
I'm surprised he only got 17 years. Did he not have a weapon? It was an armed robbery. Did he just go in with a note or something?
I don't have all the deets on it. I don't know.
It feels like, because armed robbery, man, it's a... For one, robbing a bank is a really dumb thing to do these days, especially. But armed robbery in general is like the dumbest. You rob a convenience store for a few hundred dollars and you end up getting 25 years to life.
Stupid.
Because it's armed robberies. But not to be unexpected from a Chiefs fan.
Yep. All right. Text in your reasons to hate the Chiefs. We'll continue to mix them in. Top of the hour, we are going to exercise all of the Kansas City demons. That's the only thing we need to get done here is exercise those demons. And then the Texans are off to Kansas City. We'll do that at 9 o'clock. But up next, a surprising reaction by a Jets streaming show about interviewing Bobby Slowick for their head coaching position. And Ime Udoka, pretty funny incident or episode, I would say, with him and Russell Westbrook. We'll get to that as well. Coming up next.
It's a Football Friday playoff edition on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, here's Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast. Bobby Slowick interviewed for the Jets head coaching job. He is one of a cast of thousands interviewing for that thing. They've reached out to a lot of people to try to fill that job. Other than Vrabel, it's been kind of a slow hiring cycle here. We've got Vrabel and we got a bunch of teams that are, you know, just kind of doing their thing here. And the Jets are one of them. Now, Seth, you may have been able to unearth the most optimistic Bobby Slowick view from a fan base that might hire him as the head coach that I've ever heard before.
I was curious about how Jets fans feel about Bobby Slowick and maybe some of the underwhelming candidates that they've identified that I feel like Jets fans' initial response would be, wait a second. Isn't Bobby Slowick the guy I hear about every now and then on national television as they're discussing the underperforming Texans offense? And now, what's this now?
Hey.
We're ready to make him our head coach?
And the ruination of C.J. Stroud.
Yes. That's all. So we need to bring him in to either salvage Aaron Rodgers or get nothing out of the net. I don't know.
Yeah.
Bobby Slowick, I'll tell you what. The reports of his interviews out of Atlanta were really good. Apparently, the Falcons really liked Bobby Slowick. We know from his press conferences, he's a smart guy that I think, honestly, I like listening to his theories and philosophies about football, but that's different necessarily than really genuinely proving yourself as an offensive coordinator. But I did found that, I found this Jets YouTuber, DKBX Jets, who seemed like he's not a hot take guy whatsoever. He really puts a lot of thought into this stuff. The first two points he makes as he intros his discussion about Bobby Slowick, I found very interesting. And I'm curious what the listeners think of these two selling points for Bobby Slowick.
As with every coach that we've covered so far, he is a former player, was a wide receiver at Michigan Tech. He also happens to be fairly young, where at being 37 years old, he has the luxury of, if he can find a way to have that long-term success, he could stick around for 20 years, really, if he wanted to, right? One of those rare situations of a coach that can go out of their own accord, right?
Okay.
It's one of the big advantages to hiring Bobby Slowick is that if he ends up being one of the best coaches of all time, he could be here through or be up there through, 2045 because he's a spring chicken.
Dude, that it's – forget about Bobby's age or whoever the that a Jets fan is evaluating a head coach that he might be here for 20 – a Jets fan – who they won a playoff game in 15 years that and they go through coaches now like underwear.
Yeah.
That a fan of that team, like, dude, eat what's on your plate. Get a coach that you feel like you want to have for 4 years. How about that?
He's already planning for the coronation of the grandson at this point.
Oh, my God.
But starting off with calling him a former player, and wait, what? Did I miss something? Did I somehow miss something? Oh, he was a wide receiver at Michigan Tech. Now it makes sense why Nico Collins was so excited for Bobby Slowick. He's probably like, oh, yeah, I remember hearing stories about him back when I was in Michigan. That kid from Tech, White Lightning, they called him. Yeah.
Cracker McSlot route. Yeah.
Cracker McSlot route.
I remember that guy. Here's what's funny about that, too. Is like, okay, well, clearly, what's his name again? DKBX Jets. Clearly his threshold for what a former player constitutes is you know, and no disrespect to Bobby Slowik at all. Like, not a lot of guys don't play in the NFL, right?
There are very few NFL coaches who didn't at least play college football.
Correct.
You know, now Vic Fangio didn't play football. Jed Fish was never played football. But there's very few and far between. So, yeah, I was kind of alarmed that was the first thing I heard. That's what I did. I thought, like, oh, I've gone and done it again.
Right, like, he was being stupid,
like, really stupid about, because I didn't even know that Bobby Slowik was a former NFL.
Yeah, like, he was in somebody's camp a couple times or whatever
as
a
basically,
player.
He's basically Aaron Glenn. He's the offensive counterpart to Aaron Glenn.
Right. It makes me wonder, it honestly makes me wonder, like, okay, if this guy who's a Jets diehard, right, this YouTuber, if he's citing Bobby Slowik being a former player as something that is noteworthy, like, who have they been interviewing through all these searches through the year? Like, plumbers, accountants.
Jim from IT.
The equipment manager.
That might be something. Like, that's how low the Jets fans' expectations are. They're like, I don't.
Guy played.
The latest rumor is Manesh Mehta reported that they were interviewing various mailroom members, mailroom staffers to be the next head coach.
Who's the best interview out of all the custodians? Let's interview that guy. Yeah. That's really funny. So that's a pretty optimistic view on Slowik. Meanwhile, another bit of audio here, circling back to the Rockets. The other night they were playing the Denver Nuggets. They mopped the floor with them by 20. That was cool. They lost last night to the Kings. It'll happen on back-to-backs. Still the 2 seed in the West. This was fun. So Jalen Green was driving to the hoop, and Russell Westbrook gave him a shove, fouled him, and Jalen Green took exception to it, right?
Yeah.
Took great exception to it. And was telling Russell Westbrook, don't do that. Like,
right, and they kind of got into a little bit of it. It looked like they were laughing, and then it looked like it was actually a little bit heated. And then on the next possession, as they're waiting for the entry pass, Westbrook was standing over next to Udoka. And you see Udoka laugh, which he almost never does, like in a game, or smile or anything.
Yeah.
But this is what Russell Westbrook was telling Udoka about young Jalen Green.
So he's got the bench. It's like a stand-up comedian.
No coaches. Even the head coach guy crying.
So what he said was, that wasn't as clear as I thought I hoped it would be. He said, he used to be on my AAU team. He's talking to me like I'm a young-ass kid or a new-ass kid. And that is literally true. Jalen Green once played on an AAU team sponsored by Russell Westbrook.
By Russ, huh?
That's cool. Westbrook was in no mood to be lectured by Jalen Green.
No.
I respect Jalen Green for lecturing his former overseer, his former boss. The guy that you know tried to probably ruled that AAU team with an iron fist.
He was the Clark Hunt of that AAU team. You know, probably didn't buy good sweatsuits for them. And
I heard they had to drive around in an unlicensed, unregistered vehicle to games.
I heard they had to ride bikes. They'd ride bikes to the games. Yeah. So the interesting thing about that, because there's three people involved in that scene that audio is from. Russell Westbrook, who's chirping at Jalen Green, expected. Jalen Green kind of chirping back or just smiling and shrugging his shoulders, expected. As you point out, Udoka is laughing in this thing, and he must just really like Russ. Because the one scene I remember since Udoka took the Rockets job from the bench where he was actually interacting or reacting to a player on the court was when he basically called LeBron the B word. Like, being a B, get back out onto the floor. Like, I don't think he likes LeBron. Yeah. He likes Russ, though.
Yeah. Well, he didn't in that moment. You know, things get heated.
Yeah. Yeah. That Russ is pretty funny. That was fun. I played on my AAU team when he was 14. He's talking to me like I'm a kid.
That wasn't nearly. I did the thing where I closed my eyes and listened to that, and I thought you'd be able to hear what Russ said, but I guarantee you nobody listening actually could hear what Russell Westbrook
That's
was
okay.
saying.
We laid
I
it
apologize.
Out. All right. That's all right.
I was all proud of myself because I had edited out the crowd noise. Which is a simple task that takes me far longer than it should, but it wasn't good enough. No. I apologize to the city of Houston.
That's okay. That's all right. 9 o'clock hour coming up. All right, this Kansas City thing, man. The Texans have two very awful memories for games against the Chiefs in the playoffs. We are going to take out specific instances that I've identified as demons. And we're going to try to exorcise the Kansas City Demons and give the Texans the best chance to win in Arrowhead Stadium.
Pope Zaza is going to go and win you this game,
yes!
Houston. Yes.
Keys to the game, old Pope Zaza. We're going to do that. Stay tuned. Coming up next.